How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and here we are once again on Hemp Present. If you had feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Brad Zerman is a seasoned entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience founding and operating businesses in highly regulated industries, including cannabis payments and financial services. He is the founder and CEO of Seven Point Cannabis Dispensary and previously led one of Illinois' first licensed dispensaries before selling it to a public company. Zerman also personally benefits from the medical effects of cannabis, which fuels his passion for building a responsible and community-focused cannabis ecosystem. Beyond cannabis, Brad built and sold major companies in ATM operations and payment processing, managing thousands of machines and billions of transactions while ensuring compliance and security. His extensive regulatory, security, and financial expertise positions him as a strong leader in the evolving cannabis industry. And he's here today to tell us more. Welcome, Brad, to Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio.
Thank you for having me, Vivian. It's an honor to be on your show.
Yeah, my pleasure. So you come from a background of entrepreneurial corporate business experience. What inspired you to enter the cannabis industry and start Seven Point Dispensary? Were you already in the cannabis culture, or was it a discovery for you?
No, I had already been in the cannabis culture, but actually I had maybe been slightly removed from it in my Chicago years, because I got heavily into cannabis when I was in college in Madison, Wisconsin, and had smoked in high school in the Detroit area. But after I graduated college and moved to Chicago, it seemed like 50% of the time I would smoke weed, I would get sick from it, like bronchial, you know, upper respiratory stuff. And so then it just like made me want to stop smoking as much. So I'd say, like, you know, from the 90s to, I would say, like, maybe 2010 or 12, you know, I was like not really into it because I didn't want to get sick. So I drank more, and you know, that didn't go well because, you know, you have hangovers and everything. But I made the best of that as long as I could. But, you know, when you get older, you have, like, you know, you can get like heartburn related stuff. And so the alcohol didn't really agree with me. And then, you know, once cannabis started legalizing with medical, I was able to try it and see that it wasn't getting me sick like all the other weed I was smoking before that. You know, I'd go to a concert, someone hand me a joint, I'd share a joint with someone, and then I'd wake up with a sinus infection or something. So I found that, you know, talking to my allergist about it, he was just like, yeah, there's a lot of mold in weed, and we know you have allergies to mold. So that made sense, you know. Right. Okay, I can't argue with that. So, you know, Illinois happens to be one of the cleaner states. And even now, with it being legalized, they increased the testing that needed to be done for cannabis. So now in Illinois, it's free from heavy metals, pesticides, and mold.
Brad, can you talk about your dispensary and its identity and footprint? What sets 7 point apart from other cannabis retail outlets in Illinois and beyond? What makes your dispensary special?
Well, we wanted to bring the experience of cannabis to the store. We felt like after traveling around different cities and states, going to different dispensaries, that they were just mostly lacking in educational aspects that we felt like maybe could be more accomplished now than in the past. So we would have, now we have these empty packaging in the shop sitting on a plastic stand with like a barcode underneath. And so everyone can pick up any of the products that we have, like over 400 slots in the store for different brands and different types of cannabis. So now customers can pick up the product, set it on the reader, and then there's a monitor in front of it where they can learn all about the product, whatever the manufacturer like has on Dutchie or whatever the platform is, will show up on the screen. And so, like, for example, if there's a like a joint with an indica joint, for example, but there's maybe 10 strains that the manufacturer has for the joint, then they'll be able to see all those different strains will show up on the monitor so that they can learn about all of them, and then they can dig deeper and pick whichever one they want and ultimately add it to their basket to check out. So it seemed like there is a need for that because there's so many people who are new to cannabis that just don't know all the buzzwords and what exactly they're looking for. They tried something at a party their friend had and they don't know what it was and they need help figuring out what that was. Well, now they don't have to feel like pressure to talk to a bud tender about it because they feel like they maybe don't know enough to have that conversation. So we're going to give them some of those tools that they can learn about it just like if they were in their own home, but it's separated by brands in the store and it's separated by types of formation of cannabis. So we have an edible section, a vape section, flower, concentrate. And so products are grouped like that and it makes it easier for people who know what they're looking for, somewhat at least.
Can you talk about the musical component of 7 Point?
Yeah, so that was like part of how we wanted to normalize cannabis. So that was like a big thing for us. Why does a dispensary have to only sell cannabis? That's not normalizing cannabis. So we pushed real hard and came up with a number of things that seemed like they could be a good fit. Music being the number one thing that just seems so obvious. It sort of started by my wife wanting to bring down some rock and roll memorabilia that we collected from charity events over like 15 years. And so our plan was to ultimately open a consumption lounge if we could get that approved. And so we were talking about if that could go in the lounge. And then we said, let's just put it in the dispensary and that'll be, you know, a music vibe in the dispensary. But then we were delayed so long because of COVID and litigation against the state that it just gave us time to think about more stuff that we wanted to do in the store. And so at one point it just hit me that I wanted to be able to sell records and have it be more than just decor, the music component. So we have music videos playing in the store from the four biggest genres without the sound, because we're just playing music through the whole store. And then we have a lot of music art. We have Seattle-based Ames Brothers. You may know them.
Yeah.
They're like Pearl Jam's concert poster artists and others. And so I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. And I hired Ames Brothers to do a 2,000 square foot mural of like music and kind of weed space oriented. And that starts on the exterior awning of the store through the lobby and through the whole sales floor. So between all the records that are on display throughout the store, where you can see the whole album art and the ceiling art and things like Pearl Jam signed guitar and Rage Against the Machine signed cymbal. It just has a whole music vibe in there. And so we felt like then we could give people cover to come in the store, even if they weren't necessarily looking for cannabis or didn't think they did. Oh, it's a record store. We could, let's go check out the music. And then once they're in there, maybe we sell them some joints and vice versa. We sell records to people who don't even have turntables, and we offer turntables and speakers as well.
That's a really interesting angle. It must be fun to be able to kind of mold the culture of your store that way. Brad, America's still in the grip of a catastrophic opioid epidemic. You got thoughts on the potential of medical cannabis as an alternative to opioids. What do you think the role can be that the herb can play in mitigating this public health crisis?
Well, Illinois actually made a big step forward while I was in the industry the first time with the medical store, because it's really hard to believe that they were able to accomplish this. And it's really cool to think about that I was actually involved in it a little bit, because the current president of the Illinois Senate, he was a senator in the area where my store was, in Oak Park. And so our industry association worked with him to come up with an opioid replacement program in Illinois that ultimately got passed, and it's still there today, which basically allows a patient who receives a prescription for any opioid, they can then use that prescription as the basis to get a medical card. So they can basically convert their prescription for opioids into a medical card and use cannabis instead. And so we've had that for a number of years now. And we have like an advisory team of our industry, which I was on it, because I was friendly with them anyway, because they were super pro medical cannabis when I had the store. So I saw firsthand, really having no experience with that before, because I hadn't had any of my own opioid experiences before, but or seen like some close family member. But we saw military veterans, multiple concussions, and older women, upper 70s, early 80s, that had never used cannabis before, or, you know, maybe it had been like 20 or 30 or 40 years, and they didn't necessarily want to get high. They, you know, were worried about getting dizzy and falling. And so it was just super interesting to be able to learn about all the products and the properties and, you know, the different formulations and how people that didn't want to smoke could still use, they didn't want to get high, could still use this as medicine. And then when they come back and they come back and they come back and they're getting the same products because they're working, and then you see other people that are maybe 100 pounds overweight because of these opioids, and then they work with certain doctors that want to specialize in helping people to wean off those in favor of cannabis, and everyone works together. And I was overwhelmed. I had never really understood all that before I got into the business.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah. What's it like operating in an evolving regulatory cannabis landscape? I don't know how much the laws and regulations and requirements change in Illinois, but I know here in Washington State, it's dizzying. How do you navigate compliance?
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com.
Hence, while maintaining business growth.
We definitely have to have a good team of managers and employees that understand the compliance issues and understand that it's serious, and you have to keep track of your inventory very well and follow the rules. And we have a lot of experienced team members, so a lot of people already had the background before they even came in, which was good. And because, you know, we have a music type store, we were able to get a lot of the best employees in the area because it's just more fun than working for corporate. So that's one thing. But also, I found that the regulators in Illinois are pretty easy to work with. They're serious, and they want you to follow all the rules. But, you know, they come at it with more of a helpful attitude. And, you know, they want to make sure that you're doing everything right. But if you're trying hard and you have an issue and you need to have a little more time to get something set up or straightened out, they're pretty good about working with you as long as you're 100% on board of, you know, trying to solve the problems. So I think, you know, on one hand, there's a lot of compliance in a state like Illinois. We have probably a lot more inspections than other states. But the people that are doing it, you know, a lot of them have been around since the beginning, and Illinois, you know, is a good state for this.
Here in Washington State, the state legislature folded cannabis oversight and enforcement into the Washington State Liquor Board, Liquor Control Board. Now it's the Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't a good fit. What's the organization? What's the agency that oversees cannabis in Illinois?
Well, there's a bunch, and you know that's kind of being looked at by the state and all the other different agencies and the industry as a whole, because the state seems to want to consolidate, which it doesn't seem like it's all been fully consolidated, because you have maybe the medical side consolidated with the recreational. But you still have a different department overseeing the growers and the infusers, like the Department of Agriculture, for example. But then for dispensaries, it's the Department of Professional Financial Regulation. So, you know, if there's issues between a dispensary and a cultivator, there's not one agency that could resolve that issue. It's multiple. So that probably makes things take longer than they should, and it could possibly be more efficient. But then you have arguments on how they're going to go about combining these agencies and who are going to be the stakeholders. And then you get into the arguments between, well, the big multi-state operators in Illinois want to control this stuff, but now you have independent, like we're a social equity owned dispensary, and there's a lot of social equity on growers and infusers now. And even if they're not social equity, they're still independent. So it's, you know, we want to make sure that the independent companies have the right seats at the table, not just the big companies. And that's the problem also with these agencies and how the legislators decide on whether the program advances or a dozen different stakeholders have more say. And there are things that are being held back in Illinois right now because of the bigger companies, where there could be some growth. Some of it's the legislators, but some of it's the multi-state operators who are, you know, trying to keep all the business.
Right. Have you detected any changes in consumer behavior or preferences since you launched 7 Point?
Well, I've seen the product lines grow immensely. We had a pretty strong like new product lines coming out from all the growers. Even though we only had about 20 growers in 2015, there were constantly new products coming out. But now with, you know, having going from 20 to maybe 100 growers and infusers, there's so many more brands and products and flavors and types of edible products, not just gummies. So I've seen that whole product line grow, and also the drinks. And so that, I think, has been attractive to get a lot of people into the cannabis market as a consumer, because, you know, if they're already drinking wine or beer, maybe smoking isn't their thing, but they could go for Uncle Arnie's or some other beverage that will give them a similar effect, but maybe, you know, less of a problem the next day. So I've seen more use of non-flower cannabis. Those stats have gone up, whereas, you know, maybe it's 50% flower, and then vapes, and then edibles and drinks. It just, it's not, it didn't start out 50% flower. It probably started out 60 or 65 or 70% flower, I'm betting, when we had the first store.
Right, right. So cannabis is still federally illegal, which creates complications for the industry and, you know, for any business. But can you talk about the cannabis laws in your state of Illinois? What are you allowed to sell in your state? How can consumers legally imbibe once they've and where once they've purchased?
Okay, so in Illinois, every product that's infused to have cannabis or flower is allowed. There's no restricted anything for cannabis or THC limits or anything like that. So that's good. The problem is the tax. It's probably one of the highest in the country. And also,
what's the tax?
The tax is like, it ranges from 30 to 40%, I think, based on, like, the concentrates would be more expensive because it's more potent. So it's based on like THC.
Oh, interesting.
Content. Yeah, it's real complex and profitable for the state. But, you know, hopefully at some point they could give some relief and people could spend more money on weed than taxes. But also the problem is that the limits that the state allows are real low. So a lot of states have 2.5 ounce limits, like around here in the Midwest, but we're stuck on like 1 ounce and like a couple grams. And for out of state, which really matters for us, we're on the border of Indiana.
Is that per sale per day?
Yeah. But it's really not the way the laws read. It's more of a possession issue. It doesn't really say that you can't buy more in one day,
right?
But you can't have more than one day. So if you want to go in the morning and buy an ounce and smoke it all, then you should be able to buy another ounce. So
that's what we have in Washington State. You can have 1 ounce. Anything over 28 grams is a felony.
Yeah. So we have that similar law, but you can buy more product than that in these other states. And in Illinois, out-of-state customers, which is 75% of our sales, you can only buy half of what the in-state can buy. So if we could get some of those limits increased, then we could increase sales. If we could get taxes lowered, we could increase sales.
So you ID people and you've got to look at what state they come from?
Yeah, it's automatic in the system, in-state, right. Out-of-state, you know, and then...
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. You're a medical state, so everybody's pre-registered?
Well, we're not a medical store, but yeah, we just look at their ID and it's one tax button or another.
Got it.
Yeah. You know, not a tax button, but a limit button.
Right. We've got about 4 minutes left. What steps do you take to ensure safe, responsible, and equitable access to cannabis at Seven Point? And what safety restrictions or purity restrictions does Illinois put on the market?
Well, there's a lot of childproof packaging on everything. But, you know, for us, we've been all about providing a safe accessible place for people to use the product. And so we finally got into that point where a few months ago we fought City Hall and won, and it was a 3-year process, but we were able to get approval locally for a lounge. And so right now we're fully set up with everything that we need to open a lounge. We got a permit to finish building a stage and a bar, and we're going to provide all the glass and devices, electronic dabbing and everything, volcanoes, gravity bongs will be free of charge for anyone in the lounge to use as long as they buy the product from us. And then we built a stage to run music related events. So we're basically taking the music store to the next level and inviting the public to come in and do karaoke, open mic night, music bingo, music trivia. We got a 100-inch TV going above the stage. We can run stoner movies or rockumentaries or concerts. And that's really like our goal, has been able to, you know, let people be able to buy product at varying prices, varying quality ranges, be able to learn all about the product, get the good education, have a little music experience. Now you can walk next door and enjoy a little entertainment with a little smoke, which is a very rare situation in Illinois outside of your house.
Interesting. Fascinating. Let's see. So we got a little over a minute left. We got almost 2 minutes left. What do you think the future outlook is for independent dispensaries in a rapidly growing and highly regulated industry like cannabis? And how do you see the Illinois cannabis market evolving over, say, the next 5 years or so?
Well, Illinois had a social equity licensing program, and we found a bunch of social equity partners to apply with. And that's been a good process and experience for us. But the problem is that if the states want to keep trying to get social equity involved, then they need to come up with more money to provide some of the funding to us companies that are independent and social equity owned, where we're not being backed by a major grower or have like exclusive relationship with some grower that's funding all of our activities. And we're just regular people trying to sell wheat. And the stakes have gotten so much higher where you can't even think about trying to get a license unless you're going to throw everything that you own into the pot to get it started, and then some too, and go as much into debt as you possibly can. And those are the stakes for everyone to get into this industry. And it makes it very stressful. So it's like you need all the weed in your store to smoke it just to de-stress from all, you know, the financial, you know, burdens that are created by just trying to compete with the big dogs.
Yeah. Brad, our time's up. I want to thank you so much, my friend, for being on the show and sharing all of your experience and expertise with us, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, best of luck on all your endeavors. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. The outro music, Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time, folks. Stay strong. Marijuana!
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.